Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You and I both know that the Word of God goes out all the time to people who are not interested. Right? It goes out all the time to those who are not interested. Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Man, I want our children to get a hold of this. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." What are the evil days? "The years when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." There's going to come a time when, if God doesn't have mercy, we're going to have no pleasure in it. Preach. Why are you preaching at me? Preach to somebody else. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. God's word is a message of mercy. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of healing. But our Lord Himself said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician." They're just not interested. They're just not interested. And even though God proves in this word, we search the scripture and He proves Sunday after Wednesday that every soul that is born into this world is sick with sin. Doesn't He prove that to us? Every soul is sick with sin. Every soul on this earth stands in need of mercy. Mercy and forgiveness from God. Even though the message that determines eternal life or eternal death, this message determines eternal life or eternal death. And even though it's plainly declared in the pages of God's Word, most every soul on this earth is not interested. But I tell you this, some are. Doesn't that deserve thank God? Some are. Some people know they're sick. You know that? Spiritually speaking, some people know that they're sick. Our Lord said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick do." They that are sick do. You don't have to convince a man who is truly sick that he's sick. You don't have to convince a man of that. You go down to the cancer ward at the hospital. You don't have to waste your breath trying to convince anybody that they're sick. Isn't that right? If a man is truly sick, he can see it in himself. He can feel it in his body if he's truly sick. The message that God declares inside the pages of this book is an announcement of the free gift. Here's what the message is. We stand up here and we repeat what God has said. That's what the declaration of the gospel is. We just repeat what God has said. And it's an announcement of the free gift of the unsearchable riches that are in Christ. And this is an amazing thing. To all of our amazement, most every soul on this earth is not interested. It's free. It's unsearchable. It can't be counted. It's eternal. Most every soul on this earth is not interested. But the truth is, some are. Some are. Some people know that they're poor, spiritually speaking. Some people know that they don't have anything. Some people know, in my hand, no price I bring. I mean, have you ever been broke? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were broke? You know you're broke. I mean, you're broke. I'm out of money. I have nothing left. I'm empty. Our Lord said, He stood up in the synagogue that was in Nazareth, and He held His own word. His own word, and He declared that He was going to open the prison doors and set the captives free. And they weren't interested. But do you know who would be? You know that some people on this earth would be very interested in hearing about that. Some people know that they're bound. Some people do. The goodness and the kindness of God has declared to us how sinful man can be justly forgiven. That's what's right in here. That's what this eternal God has declared to us. How sinful man can be justly forgiven. How God's anger. God is so angry, isn't He? He is so angry with the wicked every day, isn't He? Isn't He angry? Every soul on this earth is born into this world in its own flesh, wicked. Every single soul on earth. We come forth speaking lies. Can any of us convince ourselves, I've never told a lie? Can any of us convince ourselves, I've never broken the speed limit? Can any of us convince ourselves, I've never rebelled against my parents? I've never. God is so angry with the wicked. Oh, He's so angry. Inside the pages of this book, though, He has declared how a sinner can be justly forgiven. How God's anger can be satisfied, and how the Lord Jesus Christ can reinstate to a man or a woman everything he lost. And thank God some are interested. I'm so glad that He's made me to be interested. I'm so thankful He put me here. I didn't come here of my own free will. You know what our Lord said about my own free will? He said, you will not come to me. Isn't that what He said? But He put me here. And He caused me to have a dying interest in this. Some are interested. Our Lord said, it's few. He said right here in Matthew 7, verse 14, He said, it's few. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, but few. Not many. Very few. But some are interested, and this message is for those of us who are. This is for those of us who know that we are sick. I'm sick with sin. This message is for those of us who know that we're poor, spiritually speaking. This message is for those of us that know we're bound. It's all because we're sinners. That's who this is for. This message is for those who are empty, lost, and outcast. That's who this is for. Now, verse 7 is going to be our text. Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, our Lord said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that so sweet? The only time that a person will truly ask is when he's empty. That's the only time. Man by nature does not want to ask anything. This flesh is too proud. This flesh is just too arrogant. It's just too arrogant. This flesh says, I'm more than happy to tell you a couple things. If you like to sit and listen, I'll tell you some things. But I'm not interested in asking. But I'll tell you this, when God empties a man, and I've seen it. I believe he emptied me. I do. I was so full of myself. And I believe God emptied me, and I believe he still empties me. And I've seen it in others too. When God empties a man or a woman, and if God empties a person, they are empty. Whatever he sets out to do, it's done. When God empties a man, he'll start asking. He'll start begging. He will start begging. He will know. He'll be convinced. I'm empty. I don't have anything. I don't have what I need, that's for sure. And if God ever gave a man or a woman the ability to ask of him one thing, you know, if a man is going to ask, God has to give the ability to ask. If a man is going to believe, God has to give that faith to believe. If a man is going to come, God has to draw him. If a man is going to bow, God has to break him. Right? And if God gave the gift to a sinner to ask one thing, what should it be? What should it be? Peter was given that ability. The Apostle Peter. God put him in a position where he had just enough time to ask one thing. That's all the time he had. That's all he could get out of his mouth. One thing. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Can you imagine? This man steps out of the ship onto solid water. You say, with man, that's impossible. Yeah, I know. With God, though, all things are possible. A man, a sinner, can come to Christ if God bids it. And here he steps out of this ship and he's taking these steps on the ocean. And as long as he has his eyes on Christ, the impossible is being accomplished, as long as he has his eyes on Christ. But when he took his eyes off of Christ, he started looking at these boisterous waves. He started seeing how mighty these waves were. He started seeing how weak and how in trouble he was, and it emptied him. That's what happened. It's amazing that he had the audacity to ask, "Lord, if that's you, would you let me walk on the water?" And he got out there. Can you believe asking that? He got out there and the Lord allowed him to see what he was. And it emptied him. It emptied him. And he went down. How long does it take for a man to go under the water? How long does it take when you jump in and your toe hits the water? How long does it take before your head is under the water? He had just enough time to cry one thing. The end of verse 30 says, "And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" That's all he had time. "Lord, save me." Verse 31 says, "And immediately." Man, don't you love that? He was crying. He was crying. You know how some people, they love to say this in common conversation. "Lord, have mercy." Well, "Lord, have mercy." He cried, "God, have mercy." "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Why did you doubt? For every soul who has been emptied by God, there may only be enough time for us to ask one thing. Just one thing, but this is the only thing we need to ask. And I encourage us to ask it. I encourage this. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it go in one ear and stop at the heart. Let it fall into the heart and stay there. We need to ask, "Lord, save me. Save me." At that moment right there, Peter's boat didn't matter. Peter owned a boat. He went back to it later, didn't he? But at that moment right there, that boat did not matter one bit. All his nets, they didn't matter. Nothing mattered to him. "Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. I'm the dying sinner in need. Save me. I can't." That's what he knew. "I can't. You must." That's what he was saying. "Lord, save me. Save me." Go with me back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find." The only soul who will truly seek. We can declare, "Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord." But the only soul that will truly seek is the soul that knows he's lost. That's the only one. Or the soul that has lost something. When we sinned against God, we lost God. That's what we lost. We lost our access to Him. We lost our good standing with Him. We lost righteousness. We lost holiness. We lost purity. We lost life. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Scripture says. But turn with me to Leviticus 17. Go back to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Our Lord said that spotless blood will make an atonement for the sinful soul. The soul that has lost it all. Lost it all. It will be a covering for that soul. It will be a hiding place for that soul. That soul will find safety. The God that punishes all sin, He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's what He said. "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Where is this blood? Where can I find this blood? It is in Emmanuel's veins. If we can find Him, if we can get to Him, we'll find mercy from God. It's in one place. If we can get to Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, we'll find mercy from God. Look at Jeremiah 29 with me. If we can get to Christ and His blood, God will spare us. He'll spare us from what we deserve. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." How does a sinner seek God with all of his heart? How does a sinner seek God with all of his heart? Didn't our Lord say in Matthew 7, "Many are going to say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we did all these things.'" He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." They weren't seeking with all their heart. How does a man, how does a woman, how does a sinner seek God with all of his heart? The answer is in Psalm 27. Look with me at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 8. "When thou saidst," when you said, when God said, "Seek ye my face," David said, "That's when my heart said unto thee, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.'" When you said, "Seek ye my face," that's the moment my heart responded and said, "Thy face will I seek. I don't have you. I don't know you like I thought I did. I thought I had you in my back pocket," and you don't go searching for something that's in your back pocket. Somebody's snooping all around. "What are you doing? I'm trying to find this that's in my back pocket." You don't do that. David said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' that's the moment I started seeking with the heart. That's when my heart said, 'Thy face will I seek.'" That's called grace before mercy. Grace before mercy. If a man seeks God for mercy, God's grace caused him to seek. If a man ever seeks Him for mercy, God's grace caused it. Now, is anybody here lost? You know what the flesh says? "No. Not me. Let me look around and see if it's anybody else. I'm not lost. Has the Lord in mercy revealed to any of us that in our flesh we have no hope because we're without God in the world? One man said, and I repeat it, I repeat it strongly. One man said, I'm not trying to get anybody saved. Not one person. I'm trying to get somebody lost. Because Christ Jesus came into the world not to seek the found. He came to seek and to save the lost. Does anybody feel like in their flesh they have lost righteousness? I'm not as holy and pure as I thought I was. I don't want to go stand before God based on my good deeds. Do any of us feel that way? Lost righteousness. Do any of us feel like without Christ, I don't have an atonement? I don't have a covering. If that's the case, listen to this. Listen to this. Turn with me to it. Go to Isaiah 55. We just had this read to us. Look with me at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Who is he talking to? He's talking to your preacher. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Now here's the greatest four words we could get a hold of. While he is near. He's near. Wouldn't it be so terrible to stand up and cry, God is gone? Too late. It's too late. It's too late. God left. God is near. How near is he? God is here. He's here. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He'll abundantly pardon. Seek ye the Lord. How? Ask, Lord, save me. Would you say to my heart, seek ye my face? Would you say that to me? Because I won't unless you do. And you're here. Today is the day. Tomorrow may be too late. Save me. Seek the Lord. Go back with me again to our text, Matthew 7. Verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, a person will not knock until he realizes he's on the outside. He will not knock until he realizes he's on the outside. Man by nature has no idea that he is an outcast. He does not realize this. When Adam sinned against God, God cast him out of the garden. That's where man stayed. That's where the flesh stayed. Turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. The last chapter of the last book. Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs." And if you run the references there, there's a reference to Philippians, and then there's another reference that tells us that that is preachers. False preachers. Without is every man who stood up behind a pulpit and told lies on the true and living God. Without are dogs and sorcerers, those who want to do their own great things, those who want to be feared and reverenced as their own God. Whoremongers, we know what that is, don't we? Murderers, we know what that is. Our Lord said to do these things in the heart is to do them in the flesh. To hate is to murder. Idolaters, any soul that has worshipped anyone or anything other than the true and living God. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That covers every soul on earth. Most every soul on this earth has no idea that human beings, every human being that's born into this world is without. Without the blessing, without the acceptance of God. But every soul that's without the blood of Christ is going to realize that very quickly. They don't know it now, but they're going to very soon. After it's too late. It's going to be after it's too late. You think about how many people started beating on the door of the ark. They started knocking. The water started puddling. This water's starting to rise. This water's coming up. It's too late. God shut the door. Now, if you're a sinner just like me, if you're a sinner just like me who knows that all of us in our flesh are outcast from God, if you know that just like I know that, I'm a sinner who, if God leaves me to myself, preacher or no preacher, I'm an outcast from God. If you know that with me, let's listen to the voice of our Savior. Go with me to John 10. John 10, look at verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Christ is the door back in. Christ is the only way in. Only in Christ will we hear, "Welcome in." Only in Christ. If He in mercy allows us to find Him, if He in mercy draws us to Himself, no man can come to Him except the Father draw him, right? If He in mercy draws us to Himself, and if He says to our hearts, "Behold me, I'm the door. I'm the one and only door." If He says that to our hearts, let's start knocking. And don't stop knocking until He opens to us. Our Lord said in the book of Ezekiel, "I'm going to do all these things for my people, but I'm going to be inquired of by them to do it for them." They're going to ask for me to do this. So let's start knocking. Let's start asking. Let's start seeking. Let's start knocking. Now go with me one more time back to our text. Matthew 7. For any soul who has a dying interest in these things, here's the promise of God Almighty to us. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What He's saying is, if we'll come to Him, if we'll come to Him alone, He'll provide us with everything we need. If we ask Him, we'll receive. If we seek Him, we'll find everything we need. If we knock on the one and only door, His work, His blood, Christ alone, He said, it'll be open. It'll be open. All right, stand with me.